Good morning, Ebenezer and friends. We're just excited to be alive and to know Jesus and to be a part of his plan. For those who are saved out there, man, you should give a shout of hallelujah just to know who Jesus is. And for those who are looking in and listening that may not know Jesus, I implore you to get to know him. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and you will be saved. God has an abundance of grace. Let's continue to pray for those who are going through, who are struggling in their lives, and just for direction in this season and time. I want to just give some announcements and things that are going on at Ebenezer. I first want to thank you for connecting to ebcnc.com. We've got so much that's going on our website. We've got our podcast. We've got our Tithely button. You can give online. We've got our different Bible studies and connections throughout the week on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So much that's going on. Also on the website, I want you to think about and pray about this. I want to get your testimonies or songs. And we want to distribute those throughout the week as we're in our Bible studies or even on Sundays. And so please, please think about going at ebcnc.com and clicking on that. We've got the directions there that you, right from your phone, can record a testimony or a song or just to connect with others. Want to see your face. It's been a long time. Some I was able to see within the in-person service, but a lot more when able to reach out and connect with them, at least on a physical site. We're going to actually talk about that today in today's message. But please think about that. Consider that. Pray with us through that, going through and actually submitting a testimony or a song or something that God put on you. Maybe you have a gift. You play the violin or you play the trumpet and you want to record that. And we would love to see that. We've got some exciting things that are coming up in the next months for our website, some additions. So keep connecting to that. I'm just thanking the Lord for all that he does. I want to look at one of my favorite scriptures today, 2 Corinthians 9, 7, and 8. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I want you to be cheerful today. And in that eighth verse, it said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And so in our lives, isn't it good to know that God provides for us? He does so much. Things that we don't even realize that he's doing. So many things that we take for granted. It's been put on my heart. I just want to pray with you today. I know some of you are under pressure as we go in this holiday season. And, you know, you're trying to think about what's that perfect present. You're trying to keep up with some other family on the level of gifts that are going about. Man, I'm going to pray that that be released right now, that you just hear the voice of the Lord. You have an encounter with God and you follow him and know that some of the best gifts you can give is just calling somebody, lifting them up in prayer, texting them, reaching out, letting them know that they are loved. So let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity of giving. Thank you, Lord, that our giving supersedes just physical monies, Lord, but we can reach out, we can text, we can call others. In this season, this holiday season, so much pressure to buy. And some, Lord, are struggling just to make it from day in and day out. But give them peace that goes beyond all understanding. And Lord, open all of our eyes to see how you provided for us. And Lord, that we be thankful for all that you've done. Lord, thank you for your son, Jesus. It's in his wonderful name I pray. Amen. Well, I'm excited. God has put a word on my heart today. And man, I know you're going to be blessed. But after this next song, I'll be back soon.
Thank you.
come back together. Lord, just put this word on my heart. We've been working through it, actually, from last time on the Damascus Road. Remember, we've been in this series of a type, an encounter with God. I want to encourage you to truly, truly grow closer to the Lord. God is up to something in this season and time, and I pray that you're sensing that. Well, before we jump into this portion of Scripture today, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you for your presence, God. Speak to our hearts today. Lord, you know what each of us is going through. Lord, if there's someone that's listening or looking in that doesn't know you, would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know us by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them receive that gift today. Now, Holy Spirit, would you forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness? And I welcome you right now. Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? You've never failed. So we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for this word. Make it plain and easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We thank you for your anointing today, Lord. We need more of you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9 and that 11th verse. It reads, "So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying." I want to speak from a title today, a time-sensitive calling, a time-sensitive calling. Now, as we get into this portion of Scripture, there's been a little background. Remember, on last time, we were in the time frame about AD 35. We picked up this Saul/Paul. He's on the Damascus Road. He hates the Christian way. He hates Christians, and he's doing all that he can do to dissuade them from following Jesus the Christ, even dragging them into prison. But on that Damascus Road, God shows up in an amazing and mighty way. Remember, Acts 9:5 was our focus scripture on last Sunday, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." And that title was, "A Change Has Come Over Me." And I pray through that message that you can say, "Yes, Pastor, I'm in agreements with Paul. A change has come in my life also." Some points in review just to help us to transition in today's message. Before Christ, from darkness to light, on assignment, and spiritual sight. Spiritual sight. Remember, we talked about he gets up. He's blind. He cannot see physically, but spiritually he has insight. He can see the Lord. What a beautiful picture. As we continue on this, let's pick up Acts 9 and 10. "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" We're talking about a time-sensitive calling. Now, I love this scripture because I told you on last Sunday, this is an encounter within an encounter. So Jesus has an encounter with Saul/Paul. He's been changed. He's been touched. But now Ananias, another disciple, has to have an encounter with the Lord. And all of these are connected. Hence the first point of the day, the circle of life. The circle of life. Now, for many of you, when I said that, all of a sudden, the movie The Lion King popped in your mind. And this whole process here, remembering The Lion King, there were two people in there. We've had Mufasa, and then we had Simba. And it was one early morning that Mufasa is talking to his son Simba, and they're going through this whole process of, you know, he's going to one day become king, Simba, and the antelope are jumping through the scene. And in that picture, the little Simba says, "Don't we eat antelope?" And antelope. And that whole process is amazing to me because Mufasa, he begins to talk about that the grass and everything is connected. It's a part, and we have to respect. And actually, it was an ecological statement of, you know, how everything connects together. But we understand that God is in charge. But I make this example because we are all connected with someone. Look at Ananias in here. He's connected to Paul, even though they have never met. Yes, in that scripture, it says, now there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. So God is using Ananias to assist in this conversion process of Saul. This is a beautiful picture, because I want you to begin to think about in your life, who has God connected you to? Yes, who has God connected you to? Oftentimes we're thinking about, you know, God, I need this, or I want that, or what about me? But who has God connected you to in this life? I'm talking about a time-sensitive calling. Whose life actually depends on you today? Have you ever thought about that? Today, within this next 24 hours, in the next 48 hours, in the next 72 hours, whose life will actually depend on you hearing the voice of the Lord? Man, that puts a different picture of where we are, because so often in our lives, we become so self-centered and focused on ourselves. But I want you to know, it's the circle of life. God wants to use all of us as Christians in this time of COVID-19 and these struggles and everything that's going on in society. God is saying, I want to use you. I'm talking about a time-sensitive calling. Acts 22:12 actually gives us a little background of Ananias. He's been introduced to us. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there. Ananias, he was able to pray and seek the Lord. And this is why we find out that God is using him. And so for all of us, I encourage you to get in the Word, have that encounter with God so that you can hear the voice of the Lord. And when God calls you to do something, that time-sensitive calling, you'll be right there to say, Lord, here am I. Ananias in that scripture, isn't that what he said? He says, in the vision, the Lord calls his name, Ananias, and notice the first words that he says. He said, here I am, Lord. Oh, that we would all be quick to submit to God's voice. So often when we hear God's voice, we go the other way, or we say, God, I'm not ready, or I don't want to do that. I believe all of us have a time-sensitive calling within our lives. Remember Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 6:8, he says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. I pray that that's your prayer, and that you're ready for God to use you today, not tomorrow, but today. I'm talking about a time-sensitive calling. Look at Acts 9:11. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Look at this next part. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Here's another point: marching orders. Marching orders. Now I love it, because when we have an encounter with God, man, it is one thing after another. God is just adding up and adding to our lives. Notice how specific this is. Look at that 9 and 11. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight. God gives Ananias directions here. Go to the street called Straight, and then there inquire the house of Judas for Saul of Tarsus. Now, at this point, we're going to get to what a lot is going to Ananias' mind, but he's hearing the Lord. And then that 12th verse, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias, you, coming in. And I want you to do something. You're going to be putting your hands on him so that he can receive his sight. I believe the Lord wants to use us in such specific ways. Yes, yes, supernatural ways. I can't tell you how many times God has just spoke to my heart. And I've been talking to my wife, and I said, man, I'm just impressed. I feel God is speaking to me to call someone. And I'm telling you, split second, that I'm talking about a time-sensitive calling. I've actually picked up the phone, and that person that I was calling actually picked up the phone to call me at the exact
time. That's the voice of the Lord. I can't tell you the times that I've been directed to go by a hospital or go down a particular road, and God has an encounter already set up with another person. Remember the circle of life, this whole process. God wants to use us in time-sensitive callings, but we have to be aware in our lives and say, God, I'm ready. Use me. Look at this next verse, Acts 9 and 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Here's another point. Let God be God. Let God be God. There ought to be some amens. Notice here, Ananias is having some issues. Now, if we were in this situation, we'd probably have some issues too. Woodrow Kroll gives some insights on the thought pattern that's going through Ananias' mind. It says, for Ananias to receive a vision from the Lord asking him to seek out a man who made it his religious practice to throw Christian men and women into prison must have been almost too much for Ananias to take. How many times in our lives has God given us a call, but we've cowered in fear? Yeah, we struggled. We just thought about, not me, Lord, let Pastor Woods do it. Not me, Lord, let somebody else do it. But God is calling us all. All of us have a calling to proclaim God's word, to be there for those who are going through, to encourage those who may be struggling within their lives. This whole process here, notice we find out that fear can try to overtake us. It can try to keep us from actually listening to the voice of the Lord and following out what he tells us. Remember 2 Timothy 1:7. Don't forget this scripture, especially in this season and time. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. I'm telling you, if you can hear the voice of the Lord, God wants to use you. He wants to order your steps. How many times have we asked God too many questions and we wanted to put our 2 cents into it, but God said, just let me be God. I've got this. I'm working it out. I'm talking about a time-sensitive calling. Look at Acts 9:15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Here's another point. Chosen. Yes, chosen. God is working a bigger plan than we can really understand so often. There's so many layers that are going on. And even as we're in our society and we see the things that are going on in the United States, but please understand there is a world plan. We need to understand that we have an adversary, the devil, and their principalities, their demons that are setting up things that are coming against the house of the Lord, that's coming against the children that are called of God. But please understand, even though darkness is collapsing upon this world, God is saying that I made you the light. I put my Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And if I be for you, there ought to be some hallelujahs out there. If I be for you, I'm more than the whole world is against you. Notice God speaks to Ananias. He's like, I know you got some doubts. I know you got some issues. I know that I didn't give you a whole lesson on why I called you, why I'm using you right now. I know that you've heard about this man, but I just need you to go. I need you to go and just understand this. I know what you heard in the past. I know about his history, but he's chosen. There ought to be some shouts out there on your chest and go, I am chosen. I am chosen. Because no matter where you've been, no matter what your struggles are, if you know Jesus today, you've been chosen. Look at 2 Timothy 2:20. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Isn't that good? God is able to use whoever he wants to use, whomever he wants to use, wherever he wants to use them at any time. I'm talking about a time-sensitive calling, and we need to understand God can change anybody. God can touch anybody, and we've got to be willing just to hear God's voice. And I keep saying that, hear God's voice, have an encounter with God, so that we can go forth and do God's will. Look at Acts 9:16. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. here's another point, and I really want you to focus in on this point, focus on Saul/Paul suffering. Now, it amazes me that God does go in a little detail. He's like, he's a chosen, but I want you to know something. He's going to have to suffer. Oftentimes when we're saved or we see people saved, we just think that everything just goes away. But there's some principles here that you need to realize, that some seeds that we put down, they got to come up. Even though we're saved and we've been delivered, we've been set free, God has covered us, we are pleading in the blood of Jesus, there's some stuff that we may have done in our past that's going to come up. But please understand, I said this, if God is with us, even though those bad things are coming up, God said, I can work through those things. I can use those. All things work to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his plan and purpose. Henson writes of this thought pattern of suffering because we often don't want to think about that. What if our life is going to be filled with suffering? Well, that is sad, but if God is with us in the suffering, as Saul had been the minister of suffering to many believers, he himself would now be the recipient of much suffering, both at the hands of believers and especially at the hands of his own kinsmen, the Jews. You ever thought that? Because Saul/Paul, he had done so many things. We introduced, he was dragging Christians into prison. He had planted some bad seeds. And God is still going to use that and lets Ananias know, you know what? He's going to have to go through something, but he's still chosen. Galatians 6:7 says it like this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap, a time-sensitive calling. Now notice this next part. This is exciting to me, and I see why God calls Ananias. Acts 9:17, and Ananias went. Yes, so many of us, we would have had more than a little comment about, hey, God, I heard about this Saul and all that he was doing, and it would have took us days, weeks, months. We said, God, 2021, that's what I'm going after the vaccine. That's when I'll do your will. But no, this is a time-sensitive calling. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus. Notice he had issues before, but God said he's chosen. He's going to have to go through. He does it. Ananias goes in, lays hands on him, and says, Brother Saul, that is actually inviting him into the fellowship, that you are part of us, that even though you had some issues in your past and you had some struggles, now God has saved you. You are my brother. Look, who appeared to you, it says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. I love this point. God said it, that settles it. Yes, God said it, that settles it. Aren't you glad about God's grace and God's mercy in our lives, that even when we are not deserving of God's grace and mercy, he still seeps it in within that? Ananias goes in, lays hands on Saul/Paul. Now that conversion process takes place, and Ananias said, God sent me here. This is all about God's grace, and the Holy Spirit comes in. I want to deal with what happens in the There was no shouting. Look at the scripture. No speaking in tongues, but his eyes was open. There was no prayer line. There was no throwing of anointing oil. He comes in, lays his hand, and because God said it, that settles it. Everything begins to change. There ought to be some shouts in the house. And no, man, if I can get a word from the Lord, it doesn't matter. I don't have to go through a whole bunch of issues or a whole bunch of struggles per se, because with that word from the Lord, God said it, and God is going to perform it. And some of you just need to rest in the Lord. I feel you. I feel the struggles and the prayers that have gone up. But if you've heard God speak to you and God said that he's going to work it out, he is going to work it out. It's going to be in his timing. It's a time sensitive calling. But understand here, when he lays his hand, it said the scales fell off. Yeah, Ananias puts his hand on Paul and the scales come off. Now he can actually see physically and spiritually. Now this is possibly an overgrown piece of skin, and we see this in the Bible days. This was a common occurrence, a medical condition that even can occur in this day and time. But God allows this to come for a period of time so that Paul no longer depends on his physical sight, but now he has to see spiritually. I'm telling you, some of us in our lives need to come to the point that we close our eyes and we say, God, I want to see spiritually. I need to hear you, and I need to see your directives. And here now, Paul is able to see spiritually. God says, I will restore your physical sight to you. But largely for Saul, this actually fulfilled a messianic prophecy. Yes. Let me show you. I told you there were so many layers to this, a time-sensitive calling. Isaiah 29:18. Look at this. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Isn't that amazing? So Saul, being a Pharisee of a Pharisee, all of these things are coming to him. He's been changed now. He's going back to all the teachings that he's had on the Messiah. And so God uses this as an object lesson. Yes, I'm going to blind you physically for a period, and I'm going to restore it. And now those scriptures from all those texts that you read are going to be fulfilled in your mind. And Jesus quoted this same section, and we're going to use this a little later in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I'm talking about a time since the call. Isn't this amazing? So all of these things are coming, the things that he's heard about the Christ, and that they were prolificated through, and now all these things are hitting him. Look at Acts 9:19. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Here's another point. Jesus is real. Anybody know that Jesus is real? I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the world is struggling through. I want you to know Jesus is real. If you're not saved out there, please know that Jesus is real. And to the saints who are saved, I just need you to give a shout to say, I know he's real. I know he's real. What a difference 3 days can make in the life of a sinner. There ought to be some hallelujah. You see, Pastor, what are you talking about? It's been 72 hours since the Damascus Road experience, and Saul goes from breathing threats and hating Christians to becoming a Christian. Yeah, isn't that amazing? It's been 72 hours when he starts out on this quest to go against the Christians and to do all he can do to deter them from seeing Jesus. But on Damascus Road, all of a sudden he's blinded, he's knocked down, and finally now Ananias lays hands on him. The Holy Spirit comes on the inside of him. Now his sight is restored, and now he can see spiritually all together, and now he's on fire for the Lord. Notice within that scripture, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. When Christ comes into your life, there has to be a change. When Christ comes in, you're going to tell somebody. You're going to let people know, you know what, there is a difference about me, and they're going to see that there is a difference in your life. I'm talking about a time-sensitive calling. We don't have time to waste. Notice these final scriptures of the day, Acts 9:21. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem, and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. I love this point, this final point. Won't he do it? Yes, won't he do it? This whole process here, Saul/Paul, he's been changed. Now he's preaching. He's preaching the Christ. He's saying he is the Messiah. He is the one that walked the streets of Galilee. He is the one that was able to change the water into wine. This is the true Messiah that's came to deliver man. And this whole process, he's saying that Jesus is real. Please know he is real, and he'll do it in your life if you just come to know him. Maybe Paul and Ananias, after witnessing this mighty hand of God in this whole process of connecting them together, I'm talking about a time sense of calling, maybe they sang this song that Corinne Hawthorne sung, "See what the enemy had planned for my downfall turned out to be the greatest victory of my life." Because when it comes at you fast and hard, there's the only one that can come and make it right. So ain't no need for stressing and crying, because he gonna show up just like he did the last time and the last time and the last time. Won't he do it? Any saints in there know that he will do it? That's why I'm so excited today to know this Christ, this anointed one. You know what? Christ had a time sensitive message for us. He was born of the Virgin Mary. It was time sensitive. Everything had to come together at the right time. He grows up, and at the age of 12, remember, he's in that temple. The Mary and Joseph thought that they lost him, but everything was time sensitive. When they finally found him, he wasn't lost. He knew exactly where he was in Acts 2:49, and he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" I'm talking about a time sensitive calling. Then at age 30, he comes forth. He has 3 years to fulfill that ministry. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Anybody excited about a time sensitive calling? But then at age 33, he has to go to the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. Isaiah 53:3, "He's despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces upon him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." There ought to be some excitement today, because nails were in his hands and nails in his feet. On that cross of Calvary, he gave up the ghost. They peeled that lifeless body off the cross, put it in a cold tomb. But it was a time sensitive calling, because he stayed there the first day, he stayed there the second day. But there ought to be some real shouts on the third day. He got up with all power and all glory right on time. And God is right on time in this season in our lives. We've just got to trust him and hear his voice. Let's have an encounter with him. God is amazing. When you get to the point of realizing, and I get to the point of realizing more and more, God is in everything. Every facet. And so many times we can feel so alone, but God is saying, "I am right here and I am working it out." And I encourage you to walk in your time sensitive calling. Everything is working in our lives for his good, all things. But you got to trust him even when things don't look good. Be honest, they're not good in our sight. God said, "I got this." There's so many witnesses I could call up. Remember Job? He didn't understand what was going on, but everything was working out. It was a time sensitive calling. Abraham didn't understand so many things. Jacob didn't understand so many things. Tried to preempt God's timing. Oh, but those that got it right, God just worked it and weaved it. And I pray that for you today. If you don't know him, I want you to know it's a time-sensitive calling. Stop putting it off. Today is the day of salvation. God wants you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. He said, "And you will be saved." No, it's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift from God. It's a time-sensitive calling. Embrace him today, because there is no time to lose. For those who are saved, I want to pray for you also. Please know that God wants to use you in an amazing way. He's left you here for this season for a reason. I want to say that again. He's left you here for this season for a reason. Let's have an encounter with him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for using Paul and Ananias and how you just connect them together. But thank you for using us. Thank you for saving souls today. Thank you for inspiring your saints, Lord, to go forth in power and anointing to hear your voice and to infect and affect those that are around them for you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the
just glad to have you here in this communion time. We've actually just been smiling and laughing. It is good to have family. We know some of you in this season are missing family, just coming out of Thanksgiving. I had to make some choices, possibly not to even visit your family and friends. We're praying for you. Some of you went ahead and you did social distancing and masks, but this is a tough time when it comes to families, especially with COVID-19 numbers going up and hospitalizations, just a lot. So this is a special communion day as we think about what Christ has done for us, how he's blessed us, how he's blessing our family, whether you're with them or separated. And most importantly, we want to focus on that Christ is enough. Christ is everything. So this time as we go into our communion, I want you to get your articles. We're just using regular grape juice and some bread that we had in the house, and we're just focusing in on Jesus. So I'm going to ask my mom if she would read 1 Corinthians 11:23-32 for us.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do also, often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world."
Amen. Very powerful scripture. Oftentimes we stop with that first section of it, but it says, if we take it in an unworthy manner. And there's a part that always strikes me. It said, because of this, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And so we want to make sure that our hearts are clear. Even before we got together, I asked my family, was there anything they were holding in their heart? We went all the way around the table. And I want you to do that too. So I want you to take some time as we pray over the bread and juice to search your heart. If God convicts you, ask him for forgiveness now. If that person is near you, please go to them and just ask for their forgiveness so that we can take this communion with our hearts clear and just thanking God for his wonderful sacrifice that he made for us. So I'm going to ask one of the family members to pray over the bread and one to pray over the juice.
Father, we just praise you and thank you for this time of communion, Lord, this time where we remember your sacrifice, the sacrifice of your Son on the cross, Lord. We lift up the bread and the juice that we are about to partake in, Lord, that represents the blood and the body of your Son, Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Help us not to take this in an unworthy manner, but to remember the love you have for us and show for us through the cross. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dearly Father, thank you for allowing us all to be here. Please help this communion go well. Please bless the juice that we will be a remembrance of your body and your blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We've taken time to focus in. I want you to think about Christ going into the upper room at that Passover. And he has some unleavened bread. And he gets the attention of his disciples and he breaks it. It represents his body. So I want you to think about that whole breaking process of his body. Once he breaks it, they share from that same loaf a portion of it. And this represents his body. What a beautiful picture of our Savior and what he did for us. So as we think about Jesus and all that he's done, I want us to eat this bread in remembrance of him. Let us eat together. Think about that horrific sacrifice that was made on the cross for us. But what always gets me is
the blood that was shed for us. In an upper room, he picks up that goblet of wine, and at that time, they would share from the same goblet in drinking. And as we divide it up, I want you to think about the color of the juice. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As I pass out, it's amazing. What Christ's blood has done for us. We often say, I plead the blood. Why do we plead the blood? We plead the blood because we know he carried our griefs. He bore our pains, took our sorrows on that cross. So as often as we drink today, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together. At this time, after their communion time, that Passover, they actually went out and went to a location and they sang a hymn together. And so I'm going to ask one of the family members to lead us in a song.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he found me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. Now all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. In that good news, we are free in Jesus.
Aren't you glad that we have a time-sensitive calling in our lives? And I pray today that you take this message to heart, that you allow God to use you and be available to hear his voice within the next hour, within the next 24 hours, within the next 42 hours, 72 hours. Say, God, here am I. Send me. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.